Anyway, speaking of goats, you guys just reminded me. I'm watching BoJack Horseman now.
Oh, bruh.
Wait, have you watched that show?
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, when? How long ago?
Probably a year or two. I don't remember when exactly because time is a concept that I don't get. Like, how did 2022 get over? I don't know. I thought we're still in 2020. It's weird. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm on season two of the show. And so for people and Donkey who don't know what the show is about, BoJack Horseman is like this adult animated show that ran on Netflix. It's over now. It's got like six seasons. And it's like this satirical comedy show. But that's just on the surface. But mm-hmm. when you watch this show, you realize it's not just a comedy. It's like real. it's like hit you with all that real shit. So it's about a guy whose name is BoJack Horseman. And in this world, they just have animals and humans living together. You know, it's kind of like Zootopia, except animals and humans both live together, and there's no reason for that, and it doesn't matter. It just happens that way. So, yeah, so this guy, BoJack Horseman, used to be a big, like, celebrity back in the 80s. He had a sitcom, and that's where he got famous from. And now, 20-something years later, he doesn't have anything else in his life. Yeah, it's really...
Who's this guy? Is this guy?
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
And I know where it's from. Sorry, you're saying
the show mainly tackles issues that a normal TV show couldn't, but they can because it's animated and they can show different, like a horse or a cat doing something. But it's so human and at times sad and at times very true. It's fun, it's all laugh, and then it gets real, real quick. But it doesn't stay real, but it leaves that impact. Like, drug abuse, depression, people-pleasing, asking for people's validation, not having confidence in yourself, and a lot of real issues.
Yeah, I would say it's real all the time. Even when it's funny in like a dark, sad way.
Yeah.
I started watching this, and you know why I started watching this?
What?
Because of all the things, it was Facebook that got me to watch this. And I don't even know why. I was just on Facebook for no random reason, just on there. And I don't usually go to Facebook, okay? I don't even have a Facebook for people.
I think every viewer just, you know, did that phase that I did. It's like, what?
Yeah. So I don't exist on Facebook. Don't go looking for me there. I don't exist there, okay? But yeah, I randomly went into the Facebook app and I like came across this meme. And this meme, it just really hit me, okay? It was, this meme was about BoJack and his, like, ex-girlfriend who always try to get back together or some reason they don't love each other, but whenever...
His agent, I think, right?
Yeah, his agent. So whenever he gets into some sad shit and he doesn't know what to do or who to go for, BoJack always comes back to his ex and he's like, "Oh, I never realized I love you, okay? Let's get back together." And it's like, and it never works out, okay? And this meme was in that episode where they realized that, and it was like, BoJack was saying to this girl, like, "Yeah, you're right, we don't love each other. We're just two lonely persons. We're just two lonely people who hate each other, just trying to forget that we're lonely and trying to hate ourselves a little less." Okay? And that just fucking hit me. And I was like, damn, what the fuck? Like, I went into this Facebook page. The name of this Facebook page is literally... It's like BoJack Horseman is literally me. That's the name of this Facebook page. And like, I went in there and I read this guy's bio, and he's dealt with all this shit, and that's why this show resonated with him. That's why he started this troll meme page or whatever. I go through the memes, and everything I see is like, holy shit, it's so relatable. And I'm like, damn, I need to watch this. So after that, I started watching the show, and yeah, it is. The show is very relatable. It tackles with depression, loneliness, and like not being able, I don't know, not being able to amount to anything, or like always having your expectations broken, you know, and a fucking broken childhood, of course, that's always there. Always trying to get validation from someone because you never got it when you were a kid. And yeah, all that shit. And it's the type of show when you want to feel like, yes, okay, I am sad and lonely, and this is the show I need to watch, so I know that a lot of other people feel this way as well. You know, something to resonate with. And I'm watching that show, and it's pretty good. It's pretty. I don't know, man. I want to finish this show, and I'm actually already thinking about maybe doing a video on it in the future. You know, like one of those video essay kind of stuff.
Yeah. I actually found BoJack Horseman like on accident. I was like on Netflix trying to watch something, and I couldn't find anything. And then I landed on BoJack Horseman, and I saw the trailer, because the trailer plays automatically on Netflix, right? So I saw the trailer. I'm like, damn, that hit me. What the fuck is this? Let me watch an episode. And before I knew, like, in 3 weeks or in a month, I finished the whole thing. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know who were in it, or is it actually good or anything. Didn't read any review, nothing. And just ended up relating as each episode went by. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened to him. And the sad thing about it is, like, he doesn't mean to do things, but he still does things that doesn't have an explanation. Like, it's like so weird, because in my life there are so many scenarios that I can relate to, like with my work thing that, you know, we talked about in person, right?
Yeah. Like,
there's no particular reason for me for not going to work, to skip work. There's no particular reason. But I'm not doing it. That's like, you know, self-hating shit, or, making whatever it is. It's toxic. Why am I doing it? I don't know. And BoJack is the same. Why am I hurting myself? Why am I continuously making a scenario which ends up hurting me and other people in process? But he still ends up doing it in a loop throughout his entire life. And there are way too many times he has this moment that he realizes that, oh, I'm the reason for my downfall. And the glory that I stand by, like, whatever it is for whoever's life, you know, that for him it was the 80s, that don't matter shit now, right? It's just so real that it hurts. You don't need to tell me that.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you just gotta hear it, right? You gotta see the truth straight in the eyes. Can't hide from it forever.
I think there's a trope, like, a lot of people are into that. Like, they would watch stuff that would deliberately hurt them. Like, a lot of people like, you know, a trope that the hero and heroine not being together. At the end of the movie, they will break up, one of them will die, one of them will cheat, whatever happened, they won't be together. And a lot of people love that. And, like, you know, on those things, if you ask a person, like, what are their five favorite songs are, or what are their five favorite movies or series, you could tell a lot about their personalities because, you know, what they like.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, that's just masochism, I guess. People are masochistic. Okay, sometimes they just don't want to admit that they like it. But for me, I always knew about the show. I knew how sad or how real it was going to be. But I just never watched it, you know. I was never in that mood or whatever. But ultimately, you know, coming across that fucking meme page, I should fucking share it to you guys. Coming across that meme page and seeing those things that are sad yet relatable. Yet hilarious, because, you know, hilariously sad. But I just saw that and I was like, yeah, I need to watch this now. Yeah, I like it a lot. And I'm thinking of, like, maybe doing a video on it, you know, after I finish it. Which won't be until... Which won't be this month, maybe next month, because I'm going to be busy with my FYP the rest of this month. But,
I actually saw this. So I follow this, like, manga artist. Sorry, not a manga artist, a manga channel who, like, you know, shows, like, different mangas which are, like, really good, cool, famous, the upcoming ones, the one with the most potential, whatever. So there's this channel on YouTube that I follow. And they uploaded, like, yesterday, or I think a day before yesterday, uploaded a one-hour-long video of this visual novel game. It's called The House in Fata Morgana, I think. And the title of it was The Greatest Story That I've Ever Read. And I was like, nah. Nah, that's not the greatest story I've ever read. I've never heard of that. Nah, that's a bullshit thumbnail thing. Nah. So now I went into it. I'm like, I'm still curious, okay? The greatest. So I clicked on it. I start watching. 10 minutes into the video, I'm like, huh, okay. Weird, okay. 20 minutes into it, I'm like, all right, okay, I'm digging it. All right, it's okay. And then, like, I got hooked to it. I finished the entire video in one sitting, an hour long shit. Okay. And after I ended it, I went crazy. I couldn't sit on my bed. I just started walking and in circles, pacing. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to talk about it. Oh my God, I need to talk about it. What the fuck did I just watch? Yeah, it's basically a game, a visual novel. It's basically you read the entire thing. It's a 30-35 hour long visual novel with very good pictures and whatnot and music.
What was it about?
It's about this one guy, like you. You all of a sudden wake up in an abandoned place where literally there's nobody there, and there's this mansion in front of you, sort of looking like brokenish. You go inside and you see there's a maid, and the maid asks you your name, and then you realize that you don't know your name, you don't know anything, you don't remember anything. So then the maid goes, like, this building is special, I think I can help you remember who you are.
I'm sure she can.
She tells you that there are 8 rooms, and 8 rooms have different timelines. And you can go and check for yourself if you are any one of them in those timelines. So basically, in this game, you go from one door to 8 door. And as you go from one door to 2 door to 3 to 4 to 8, the story unfolds and you realize who you are, why you are here, and everything. It's just so well written, like so well written. There are plots and twists, like all around, and every little details. Like the foreshadowing is like One Piece level foreshadowing. The characters' developments are like guts, berserk like. If you choose like this protagonist over Guts, like I don't think so. I would be able to say, nah, you shit. It's that good. The protagonist, like the entire shit of this game and the story is so captivating and so good. And it's one of those shows, right? Like where you can't say, oh, he's the villain and he's the hero. Because the characters are so real and so human, and every action they take in their shoes, you would do the same. And the entire situation is a product of circumstances, like in life. Like, you're a good person, you're a bad person, depending on who I asked, right? And that's what that is. And I was not expecting a random YouTube video to change my entire week, probably. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was like 6 a.m. in my girlfriend's place, and I was considering to call her because I need to talk about it. I need to get this out of my head. Like, what did I just watch? What did just happen? Like, I highly encourage you not to watch this or read into it.
How long was the video? 1 hour?
Yeah, 1 hour.
But you said it's like a 35-hour video.
Yeah, he summed it up. He summed up the entire story. There are playthroughs of gameplay or entire story for like 35 hours on YouTube. You don't wanna, because it's a visual novel. You don't play. You just press the button A once you've finished reading.
Yeah,
I would recommend to go and, you know, if you have the time, then watch like all the viewers or listeners as well, because it was so good.
He just summarized the whole game. He just summarized the story.
Yeah, but I couldn't stop listening because the plots were so good. I got hooked that I need to know what happened next. I didn't want it to.
What is the name? What's the name of the game?
The Fate, the House in Fata Morgana.
The House in Fata Morgana.
Yeah. Look that up. It's like the best visual novel there is, I think. Like, it's highly praised in that community.
Oh. Yes, interesting looking visuals.
Yeah.
Very gothic like.
Like, yeah. It has 10 out of 10 ratings, I think, on Steam. On Metacritic, it has 96% as well.
Damn. Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah. There are a few times in the story kind of mellows down, but it picks up again with a bang.
Oh, with a bang.
Wait, send you're gonna send the YouTube link of the YouTube video.
No,
that looks like the shit that I draw, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, the artwork seems really nice, and it seems
and like the music apparently as well goes really well with whatever scene that you are actually reading through.
I sent the Facebook page link in the server. You guys can check that out as
well. Oh yeah, okay, obviously, because I'm kind of a sucker for BoJack Horseman, but I obviously after I finished watching it, kept in the link with the community. But it would be nice to see some moves back.
You know, like we aside from the podcast, maybe we can do something similar, like writing a storyboard line and having like audiobooks, like telling a story and stuff.
Yeah, I am like so into audiobooks because I don't have the patience to read, but I really want
to listen to it.
You know? learn about books.
And who's gonna write a book? Who's gonna write a story?
I mean, I can do the music and the visual.
I mean, writing a story itself is not a, you know, it takes a lot of research and a lot of dedication and time as well.
I think that's the main, the research part is secondary, but I think the main thing is the dedication and the time, because
I don't like writing, and I'm a journalism student.
I saw this TED talk of, like, you know, people doing, like, what makes somebody successful, and it came down to, if you are obsessed with something, like, no matter how talented the other persons are, if you're obsessed, you will end up surpassing it. Because when you're obsessed with something, you will keep on learning on 24-hour basis. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365. Because you're obsessed, yeah. Whenever you have time, you would put your time into it. And thus, it's inevitable for you to become successful. But the issue with normally people, that they are... Sure, they're obsessed with it for 2 weeks and then they just go on about their day. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the stupidest thing, like Tetris, or I don't know, like something else. Like, whatever it is, as stupid as it is, if you are the 0.01% of it, you're going to be successful in it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Donkey... You're gonna be successful if you just keep on, you know, doing your art.
Have you seen my art? What the fuck?
Yeah, I went to your Instagram page, like TK gave me the thing. Yeah, and then I saw all your artworks.
I just updated it.
Are you following each other?
No, I didn't even know his Instagram.
No, I don't think so. I follow him either, but I just scrolled through his.
Some stalker here.
No, I remember asking you his Insta, because you told me that he had really cool art there, and I was like, okay, I'll give it. I'll look into it.
Well, so what's your Instagram?
I'll type it out in the group chat.
Because I just updated it. I was just asking TK about my art. Yeah, but yeah, I don't disagree with that. Like, I think a lot of times, like, when it comes to like succeeding in something, it's not okay. Don't talk about obsessing, because obsessing is something, it's a very strong word that not everybody can do it. But let's put it in a normal term, like, for normal people to succeed in something, which is to exchange a time for it. Like, to exchange a time for it and your dedication and commitment to it. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to be obsessed with it, but so long you have a space for it in your life.
I think you do need to be obsessed for it if you want to be the best at it. Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't obsessed with football, he wouldn't be where he is. I think the same goes for Leo Messi or whatever the best person you can think of at an art or profession. I think they have to contribute all of their life to it, basically.
Yeah, but that statement is a double-edged sword, because not everybody who's obsessed with it has the opportunity to be the best at it.
I kind of disagree. Like, you don't have to be the best at it, but you could be one of those. Like, you could be successful. Like, or you could have a career in it. Okay, you don't have to... let's say you're obsessed with tattooing. You don't have to be the best tattoo artist in the world. But you can have a career as a tattoo artist if you're obsessed with
it. Well, yeah, I mean, if by being obsessed, right, like, to have a career, it's a different thing. But because if you're too obsessed with it, you don't have the space to handle the other logistics to have it to make it into a career. That's the thing.
No, Donkey, I think you're thinking it the wrong way. Okay, I saw this Mr. Beast podcast in which he talks about, like, he always wanted to be a YouTuber, right? So he tried everything. Like, he dedicated his time out of school whenever he could to becoming a YouTuber. He counted from 1 to 100,000. He watched Naruto while counting backwards or shit. Like, because he was really into Naruto, but he didn't want it to stop uploading. So he watched Naruto while doing 1, 2, 3, 4, like this. He tried to make 100 ideas work. And every day he focused on being better. Being that one person better. You know, having a better title, having a better thumbnail, having a better idea. How to engage people, how to make sure that people don't stop watching my video midway through. How to make sure that, you know, if somebody clicked on our podcast, they will end up finishing that lesson. He had data gathered on and worked on his craft for years before he became Mr. Beast. He didn't like magically figure it out, if I would give money, people will watch my videos and I'll become the biggest YouTuber. He had to try 100 other things before he gave away money. And that's the thing. He was obsessed with it. He tried everything and one thing worked. And yeah, as it worked, he like grew his empire.
Yeah, but you're contradicting your point here because you're talking about being obsessed with it and becoming the best.
You don't have to be the best. But, you know, if you're not obsessed with it, you're not going to engage that much time and effort in it.
Yeah, but if you're talking about just having a career, then it wouldn't be someone so prominent like Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is the best of what he's doing.
Yeah, but so, if you're obsessed with it, at the least you'll get a career out of it. At least. If you are like a footballer or a basketball player, you had really promising career. It didn't work out. You can still become a high school basketball coach.
Well,
because
yeah.
You had like, so much prior experience and you know the game, you can at least be a coach. Or do something, or train individuals. But if you are not obsessed, then you wouldn't achieve those goals or be the, you know, be the basketball player. Because, I like playing it, but I'm not going to focus into my flaws and make it perfect. So you would not have anything. Like, I think... me, I am a very good example of that. I don't do anything with the obsession. I'll watch anime, sure. I'll watch everything but mediocre. I'm like the middle guy who doesn't achieve anything. Because he's not obsessed with it, or he's not, you know, doubling down into learning anything. I'm there for 2 weeks and then I'm not.
Like, if you're talking about that, like, if you're obsessed with something to make it into a career... I think to make it in a career is a totally different point of view, because how do you put it? To make it into a career, you have to know what you're looking for. You don't have to be obsessed with whatever you're trying to make a career out of, but you need to know what the career is asking for. So you don't have to be very obsessed with the subject that you're selling. It's like a salesman. They don't need to know everything that they're selling, but they just need to be a good salesman.
Yeah.
So, they don't have to be obsessed over that product. Same, like, I'm doing art. I'm very obsessed with, like, drawing and techniques and everything, etc., and all that occult stuff. But, I don't need that to sell my art. I just need to know where my target audience is. So it's two very different point of views, being obsessed with something and being the best in it, and eventually becoming someone that's up there in their own career. And comparing to someone who is obsessed to make it into a career. You know what I mean? Like, someone who is obsessed enough to make it into a career means this person is a good businessman. But someone who is obsessed over it, over something in creating or whatever they are doing, they can't be a businessman, or they can't make it into a career just like that, because there are too many other logistics that they need to handle that stops them from being obsessed with it. Like Van Gogh, like, or artists like Van Gogh and etc. They all have like fucking mental illnesses somewhere. Like, you know, they are so obsessed with their craft, but they are not the ones who actually really market out the artworks of their, you know, of them. It's people. It's the people, the viewers, and the people who run galleries who really actually sees value in their artwork. The whole obsession that they put their time and commitment into the artworks. So they have to continuously be obsessed in their craft in order for other people to make their obsession a career. because the whole point of having a career is to be a businessman. So if you're needing to settle all the logistics of the career wise, like cost, funding, which gallery to send it to, and the cash flow and everything, you can't be obsessed. You can't be obsessed with your artwork, your craft anymore, because that takes away your time. And then you have to balance things out, because these two factors often contradict each other. Because when you're obsessed with your craft or whatever you're doing, it takes up all the time. You have no sense of time. You have no sense of, you can't really gauge time. Or when is it to eat and everything, because you're just simply so obsessed with being better and over again. Like you said, Mr. Beast, like he spends every single moment like, micromanaging his time and everything, that, sometimes you just lose a sense of time and everything. But making it a career is a different thing, because you need to have sense of time. Okay, you need to know that tomorrow 8 to 5 is when people are awake, and this opportunity for people to make business. And then you can't be asleep during that time. So you can't be obsessed with that. You can't be obsessed to the point where you don't have enough rest to make it into a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts,
I was going to say that Van Gogh really didn't make or sell any of his paintings when he was alive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not him. He's obsessed. You can't say that he's not obsessed with his artwork. Look at his work.
Yeah, he was obsessed with his artwork, but he could never sell it in his lifetime. After he died is when those artworks became popular, because, the people who run those things like decided they were, popular, and now it meant something. So yeah. I think obsessed in the right way. You should be obsessed in the, like, let's say Mr. Beast, for example.
Yeah.
He always wanted to be a YouTuber, but he knows that he wants to be a YouTuber to be famous and to make money, and to get it all out in front of people, so more people, millions and millions of people can see him. And he can grow in numbers. That's the gauge for a successful YouTuber. The more people that watch your shit means the more successful you are. Okay, that's the gauge for it. So if he was obsessed with being a successful YouTuber, then he got it right. Because he was obsessed with just not only making the content, but also he wanted to perfect the engagement of the audience, the thumbnail, the clickbait, what times to upload, what to do to get more people to view his shit, all of that. Okay, so he wasn't concerned just about the craft of making the video, but about the whole thing, as a whole. So I think, so you can't just be obsessed with getting your craft right. Like, that's a part of it. Like, a lot of movies we see are like very good movies, like art films and award-winning some movies are very good, they win awards, but they don't make a lot of money. Those kind of movies are never the blockbuster ones that make money, right? So the craft of the making of the movie was perfected, but not the making money part or doing good business part, I think you need to look at all those things if you want to be successful in what you want to do. If you're just obsessed with just the craft, then there's no guarantee of success. You're just gonna maybe perfect the craft, but you don't know if it's ever gonna amount to anything, if it's gonna amount to a career or become successful in the future.
So become obsessed with knowing that you can do something with it, right?
Like, as a whole. Not just making the craft, but also getting it in front of people, making it a success, making your name through that,
Like, I think at this point...
Yeah?
Huh? I think at this point, it really depends on what is success to the person who is going for it. Like, what is the level of success they are talking about? Success might not be whatever we think about. Sometimes they're obsessed with their craft. To be successful is to be able to put out their works. Full stop. They don't need to be famous. They don't need to make it a career. So it really depends on what kind of success we're looking at. Because this depends this on two the points, like, then. Yeah, the points that Larry and both of us are talking about are not invalid. They are both valid, but it just depends on the situation that it's applying it to.
Yeah.
Or the career path, even. Like, in some careers, you have to be obsessed, and in some, you have to.
Like, porn?
Well, I think definitely do have to be obsessed for that. But I think that's why all these other businesses exist, right? That's why these galleries exist. People who scout out the artists exist. Production companies exist. Agents exist. Because they're in charge of, like, finding the talents and giving them a platform and getting them in front of people, right?
Mm.
You know, like, let's say, for the example, the movie industry. How do you get to maximize the profit of a movie? Okay, Avatar 2 is coming out, okay? Everyone knows, okay? No matter if you live under a rock, because it spent millions and millions of dollars on advertising, okay? Advertiser, Avatar merch, and Avatar advertisement is everywhere. The moment I go on social media, it's everywhere, okay? And in America, it's like boosted, like 200% more. And nobody would know it's coming out, right? If all this marketing didn't go into it. And nobody would pay money to see a small movie until you know, Disney had it stamped on it, okay? Let's say Avatar is a bad example because it's a sequel to a movie we already know. Okay, but let's say, what's the new movie that got famous? Let's say Frozen. Frozen, when that came out, why did people watch that? Because it was a Disney animated movie, okay? And that name means something. Disney is known for distributing blockbuster movies, and they're known for distributing these huge Disney princess animated movies and all this shit. That's why initially all the people came to watch it. And from there on, you know, the word of mouth spread and the good publicity spread, and eventually it got to $1 billion or something. But, you know, you need that platform and everything. Everything needs to be aligned for that to happen.
Yeah, so, like, in terms of this, right, we have to face the fact that we have to address the superficial value of being successful as well. Imagine Mr. Beast being putting in all that hard work, but if he wasn't a good-looking, or say, normal-looking white male, but whereas he's like some village-looking guy that doesn't have good looks, you know, very caveman-looking, and if he were to put out videos like that, you know, he might not be half as successful as he is now. You know, this is the superficial value of making things into a career, like. I can't hide it as well. Like, there are a lot of things that really relies on selling looks and using your superficial value as a marketing strategy to really put you outside there. So if girls who are not pretty, if they were to be in a porn industry, like, how many people are going to watch it? And if they don't have a good figure, they don't have good looks, people are not going to watch it, and therefore they are not going to earn that much. You know, they can't make a career out of it because they don't have that superficial value that people are looking for. So if you are easy on the looks and, you know, you just happen to have a good voice, and whatever you do, it's easier for you to put it out there. It's like pretty girls and guys in modern society. Pretty girls are easier to, you know, step it out in the society because they have people, you know, give them the attention that they want. And that's what they want, because once they have attention, people will, you know, approach them for their business. But whereas guys, I don't know, like, even if a normal-looking guy is, like, they have to put in so much effort just to make a business work because they can't sell their looks. Whereas good-looking guys are out there, like, being gigolo or something like that. But they don't have the same privilege as people who are good-looking, not good-looking, you know. So that's the superficial value in terms of building a career as well.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Because, like, as much as arbitrary it is, like, looks matter a lot. Like, if you are good-looking, you can get less sentence in a court just because you're good-looking. And if you have like two face tattoos and you went in there like, you know, like you're from the street thugs with a chain and shit, you're more likely to get 5 years more.
That remember that guy, that this really good looking guy that was he had his mugshot posted all over the internet and people were signing petitions to release him. And then he got released and he got signed on as a model. This white guy, I can't remember his name, but he's pretty good looking. He's like icy blue eyes. And yeah, then his mugshot. Yeah, that guy was inside. He was sent to prison for something. And then his mugshot was sent all over. And then that mugshot apparently, you know, stole a lot of females' heart. And then they signed a petition. And then big names, brands started signing him on as a model because he looks good. So it's like he wasn't even being obsessed with whatever he's doing, you know. Huh. He just happened to be good looking.
Yeah.
He just happened to be good looking, bro.
Okay. We're getting into something completely different here. Okay, Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay, the serial killer. Okay, he got used to get like love letters in prison. Okay. Yeah.
I have a really controversial thing in there. Like people with good looks get stuff and gets people's attention in a way that they don't develop certain things. Okay, I'll give you an example. If you are a 10, be it a guy or a girl, you always have friend groups to hang out with. You always get invited to parties. You always have some love interest going on in your life. You know? And then, that's why, because always you have eyes on you, you don't naturally develop things that a person would. Like, let's say you would not learn about a lot of stuff that normally a person would, because you're always busy with getting attention or whatever. You don't need to be funny.
You don't have to grow.
You don't need to be funny because the other people are funny and you just laugh alone and it's all good. You don't need to put in efforts into relationship or into yourself. Or you don't really better yourself. You just stay there. Oh, I'm the good-looking one. Oh, people want to hang out with. But for somebody who's a 7, he works on becoming more intelligent. He likes to know about stuff because he want to engage in more meaningful conversation. He wants to, let's say, be trying to be more funnier, trying to have a thing. Like in any friend group, you'll find a funny guy, a good guy, a ladies man, and those you can easily assign those because that's how they are. They have personality, but the good looking person at times lacks that personality, lacks that individuality because they just got things spoon fed to them. They don't realize that, you know, like other people had to work for it. Like for somebody who's an extrovert, they don't know how hard it is being an introvert. And how hard it is to talk to people, which an extrovert do it in a daily basis.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but the thing is, those people also have different problems. They have different problems than us, right? The people you're saying who don't, they don't get to grow as a person because if they already get all the attention, they don't need to put the work in.
Yeah.
But eventually in the future, they're going to realize, you know, at some point that it's all superficial, okay? Like these people who are hanging out with them, it's all superficial. He doesn't have a meaningful connection with anyone. He doesn't bring anything unique to the table except his looks. Like people just want this girl or this guy around because it looks good. You know, it looks good to be around this person who's good looking, you know, and that's the whole bag of worms they have to deal with then. Okay, it's like
that's something I realized too.
Yeah, okay, I want to say one more thing, that this is kind of similar to that thing I shared last week, Donkey, remember, about the money thing, you know, the wealthy kids from wealthy families don't know about, you know, growing up and having to struggle. So what you said about good looks, it also goes to it also can apply to people who come from wealthy families. Okay, kids with wealthy parents, they don't have to worry about money. They don't have this pressure of leaving the house and trying to make their own life, you know, earn themselves, because they always have the safety net of daddy's trust fund or whatever. And they don't have to do that well in school, okay? They don't have all this pressure. So, yeah, they don't, yeah, it's a lot of similar things. They don't get to grow as a person, and they don't do hard and gritty work, and they never know about the real life, real world, until the point where they have to, and when reality kicks in a harsh way, you know? So, yeah. You can go on, Donkey.
Oh, yeah, like, it's just to enhance whatever we're talking about. Like, I've met, like, some people, like, they're pretty good looking. And it's naturally that we're attracted to them and we want to talk to them. But, yeah, it's like you guys are saying that, you know, they don't really bring anything to the table. Like, when you're talking to them, it's like, you try to be funny and you try to be ice-breaking and everything. I get it. You know, I'm not a fan, but maybe if they are.
I mean, that is obviously an exception, you know, like we're talking about the general. That is an exceptional, probably, guy
like girls, like even a girl, like I realize that even if they're pretty, the superficial value of whatever I'm looking at just fades away the moment they have nothing else to offer. And yeah, it's like, If TK and me we ask you to collab with us in this podcast, and if you're just all you have is like good looks, and you wouldn't be here after the first episode, like, you know,
it's
because we are calling you ugly, but it's in a different way. Yeah.
Why are you guys happy? We're actually calling you ugly.
like this kind of connections, like even to carry a simple conversation, like a lot of good looking people don't have this skill because they feel that the world owes them to whatever they have. And it's really hard to have an actual conversation or a topic to talk about, because all they know is like very superficial stuff. You can't talk to them about all this. It just flies over their head. And all they talk about is the brand, you know, I want to get this brand. They're having a sale at this brand.
Brands, girls, apps.
Yeah, and that's all. It's fucking boring. Like, seriously, like, I would rather die alone than to be together and to be married with someone like that. You know, it's a torture. You know, when people, that's the thing. People don't get it when you see like a trophy girl or a trophy wife.
Yeah,
and they're like, man, you're so lucky. You get good sex all the time, but. They don't get it. This is why only rich people get trophy wives or girlfriends, because they know that that's all they can do and that's all they need to do to keep a status. But otherwise, then people like us who look for wives and girlfriends for having a real companion, we wouldn't go for that kind of girl, because that's all they have, nothing to offer. We see like these trophy wives, like, you know, people see them, oh, she's a good fuck and everything, but you don't get it. Like, that's all she is, you know.
Yeah.
This is one of the other situations I was telling TK about. Like, I feel lonelier when I'm in a relationship. Like, I feel really lonely because this is all this girl can give me, sex, and there's nothing I can talk to her about. There's nothing that I can share with her. There's no joy that I can share with her. You know, the kind of joy, like the situation you had, Larry. Like, you know, you have something you want to talk about after watching that light novel. And you have no one to talk about. So you have, when you talk to your girlfriend about it, but you know, when you don't have that option of your girlfriend to share it with, you feel really lonely because it's something you're so excited about to share joy or very raw emotions with, but there's no one to share it with. That's when you're really lonely in a relationship. That's the difference between having someone who is has more to offer rather than a surface value kind of shit in a relationship. It plays a big part, and a lot of people, especially in this up and coming era, like, people don't see that kind of value anymore because all they think about is, yeah, man, I got the dough, I got the money, bitches.
Yeah,
you know, that's all they see.
I have seen dudes going for the looks. And they'll be like, oh, she doesn't have a personality. I don't care. Have you seen her? I was like, the reason she chose, because she doesn't have a personality. Otherwise, she wouldn't chose you. Like, she's out of your league.
I mean, there's a reason. Okay. It's a good for getting laid, getting your dick wet once or twice. But after that, it gets boring. And it's the other way around for guys. You know, guys who are good looking. You know, it's different, I think, for wealthy guys, because girls want to stay with them to secure their future, even if they don't have anything else to offer. You know, I get that. That's understandable. But for girls, if all you have is just good looks, it's not going to be worth it. No. And what?
I suddenly recall, this is my life. Like all the girls that I've been with and had physical contact with. But when I am at age now, I realize that I'm looking for like someone I can settle along with, and that's why I'm alone. You know, it's realization
really
after a while.
It's really hard to find somebody you can connect with, right?
Yeah. So it's Larry, you lucky bastard.
I know.
You and your happiness, man. Me and TK, like, fuck you and your happiness, Larry. Fuck you and your sweatshirt.
Bro, I can't even be happy because I'm always like, you can't fuck this up. You can't fuck this up. You can't fuck this up. And in my mind, I'm like, there will be a time I'll be like, how did you fuck this up? And I'm just trying to not go to that stage where I by myself in a bathtub and be like, how did I fuck this up?
Yeah, but if judging from what you're saying, then you are probably like really lucky because you have a girlfriend who is understanding enough to forgive all that shit you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fuck you and your happiness, man. Fuck you and your sweatshirt as well. Fuck you.
Fuck you in the summer.
Fuck you, summer, man. Summer.
I want to say, like, and people wonder, like, why would those superficial people, just for good looks or wealth, still have people around them all the time? Because people, like, we wouldn't be friends with someone like them. But as as Donkey, we've talked about this a lot before, that people are very superficial. Okay, most people. And most people are happy with having superficial friends or having the superficial people in their lives. Okay, and that's why those kind of people still will never have, they will never have an lack of people or company, because people are superficial, and they will continue to have those superficial relationships until the moment when it hits them. And oftentimes it might be too late. When it hits them, they don't really have a friend, or they don't really connect with this person or these people they hang out with all the time.
It's true. it's always the times when, like I said, like it's the same situation where you have something to share. It's either the extreme ends of each raw emotion, and you realize that you don't have anyone who can relate to it. And that's when you realize that, you can't really connect on a certain level. I mean, sometimes it takes time, but it's situations like that that makes you feel lonely. And if you have, stuff that you can share with your girlfriend, then you're really lucky, because not everyone can do that. You know, it sounds very oxymoronic, because it should be something that's very common sense, but not every relationship you have that chance to share this with someone. The kind of shit I do. So can you imagine if I was with a very normal girl, a mainstream girl? You guys can't imagine that shit, but you guys can see me with that shit, just for sex, but you can't see that person as like my girlfriend.
We didn't say anything. It's all you.
Yeah, bro. Bro, I can read your fucking faces, man. But yeah, like, okay, imagine like I bring this girl, like really normal, decent looking girl.
Yeah.
That looks like she just works at an office job from 9 to 5 and just go home and shit and sleep and watch her Korean dramas. And I go like, hey guys, meet Clarice, my girlfriend. Mm. And then you guys were like, oh, hi, hi. First impression that you guys will have is not to judge a book by its cover. And then as you guys hang out with us more and more, and you see the interaction between me and her, you guys will understand that this girl is not for me. It's not about her looks. It's not about how she behaves or anything, but it's just not there. That chemistry is just not there. And I can't imagine myself being someone who, you know, can't understand all of this as well. Like, I have a lot to share. You can see the amount of bullshit that I spew over here. Like, I have a lot to share. And it's fine. It's fine if the other person, like, if you guys don't get it, but you guys are not, how to say, you guys are not, we're not each other. But we get each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of this kind of relationships. But if you're with a girlfriend who totally doesn't even get it, it's fucking quiet and it's, you know, you're just watching your own thing. And then imagine if you're talking that visual light novel to your girlfriend and she's just like, she's just doing this like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. you know what I mean, right?
For me, respect in a relationship is very important. Be it friends or, because, you know, you're sharing an opinion right now. Yeah. The last thing I want to do is like, oh, this, oh, you, like, or some shit, some stupid shit, because that just, yeah. I would, like, I'm interested into this and I would want her to be interested in it. That's the thing.
Like, us TK, like, when we're hanging out in Langkawi, like, the only time that I actually really get to my phone is when I'm attending to work. But otherwise than that, I don't really like to use my phone when we are out having, you know, spending quality time. Like, not even if you're walking and not doing anything, you know, I don't like to be on my phone when I'm with someone. But people nowadays don't have that kind of courtesy. And that's why I don't enjoy hanging out with a lot of people, because they're always on their phone. And that doesn't give them that excuse, because I'm busy with my phone. It's my job. But I'm even if I can put away my phone to give you the respect as a friend, as a person, to, you know, to listen to what you have to share, what you want to say, you know, to try to understand where you're coming from, etc., etc. But if you're not getting that kind of respect, you just feel lonely as well. Yeah. Because it's like, yeah, you just, you know, you don't get it. If TK was on his phone all the time, I would have given it to him as well. Like, hey bro, fuck. I spent all this money here to be here to hang out, and why the fuck are you on the phone all the time? Like, I'm 36, I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm never on my phone, okay? Because I don't have people to talk to.
Yeah, anyway. That's why we hang out. That's why we hang out, because we're the same, man, for fuck's sake. No.
I have this rule, like, I think none of my friends actually knew this, but, like, it's like earlier in my relationship, like, 6 years, 5.5 years from now? Damn. That sounds so such a long time ago. So I had this rule with my girlfriend. If I tell her, like, or it was understood. It wasn't a rule that I had to tell her. It was understood by her that if I tell her that, oh, TK is at my door, the next thing she will be like, oh, okay, say hi from him. Have a good time. We'll talk later. And then, you know, bye. Because the person who came all the way for me or whatever, I met them or in person, that person comes first. Whoever I'm talking to, even if I'm
talking. The context is he was talking to his girlfriend on the phone a lot, all day, all night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so different. That's different.
Yeah, but if there is a friend, I would stop that right away. Like, right away.
But the thing is, you can do that if only you guys have your own safe, like, personal time together, each other. It's like, imagine if you have to fight for her attention all the time, and then she says that to you, and then you just don't feel where you're placing yourself, or you're standing in her life, and that just feels unfair, because it's like, she's giving this friend priority, but whereas you have to fight for her priority, you know, that kind of feeling. It's just a little bit different. If you guys are already talking every day, like, you know, like, you guys already know where you guys stand in each other's life is different. I can do that too, but the problem with a lot of females is they don't let you know where they stand in their life. If someone, something or someone else is always before you, you know, yeah. So that's not fair. Yeah, so like I said, you're lucky to have an understanding girlfriend, you bitch.
Thank you.
Fuck you. No, thank you. Fuck you. Para pancho.
This is why I say that I never want to put an effort towards like someone like that. Let's say a girl, okay?
Yeah.
She's pretty. She's hot. Everything, you know, the guys would want to be with this girl. But I'm not the one who's going to go out of my way just to put an effort and hard work to get this girl. Because if I'm the one who's having to put all the effort and make all the conversation, like, they're not doing anything, okay? Imagine just a one-word reply or something. Oh. And I'm having to come up with all this shit and have to drive all the conversation, everything. It's not worth it. Okay, guys who are out there who are trying to get girls like that, you know, if you're the one who's having to do all the work, do all the talking, do every conversation, and she's not putting any effort, or she doesn't have the capacity to, you know, engage in a conversation or in a meaningful conversation, it's not worth it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, it's never going to be worth it. And give up right now before you get too deep into it and it's too late. Okay.
Yeah, as a teen, we didn't realize that, right? As a teen, yeah. I think I used to do that. Oh, she's giving me a dry spell. I don't care. I think at least she's replying. Yeah, I would take the positive out of it when there is none.
That's fucking some copian shit there, man. Fucking copian shit, bro.
Okay, I think there are dudes like that, like who would at least, you know, take the conversation rather than nothing. Because, you know, you're lonely, you gotta get yourself out there and try. Like,
no, man. I think I passed that shit, bro. I'd rather be lonely with my right and left hand. I'd rather train my left hand to jack myself off than to engage in the shit like that again.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for you, man, for having a standard for yourself and not settling for less. I think a lot of dudes don't do that. A lot of dudes will settle for whatever. If a girl is into
me, yeah, I mean, okay, that's all.
She doesn't have personal, I don't care. She's into me.
Like, yeah, because all they do is work and home. They don't have any other value they can give. Like, all they do is work and home, and they just follow the system blindly. They don't really work on themselves. They don't really see what they have to contribute, except for throwing money to have a family. That's the bullshit. Like, you can't, like, yeah, I mean, it's their choice. I mean, I get it that some people are just not good looking enough and they really have some crumb of pussy is enjoyable for them. But, you know, like, you can't really,
they can't think straight.
yeah, just like, you know that meme that that blind guy can have a crumb of pussy? Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say just now, fuck. I forgot what I wanted to say.
You motherfucker interrupting him while he's talking.
I'll remember it. It was something about guys not having the self-esteem.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are taught that. I think as guys, we all always like grow up with that kind of outlook. We're like, we don't think about that, you know? We think about just... Yeah.
What was Larry saying before I was saying something?
Well, when this episode comes out, everybody will... 60 seconds. Oh, Larry was talking about this.
Okay, you guys, Karen. Let me try to recall my whole last thing.
Talking about teenagers and we
struggling, you know, with text or settling for whoever, because, you know, at least somebody's interested into me and that's what they think. Like, she likes me. Okay, I'm gonna marry. Not like thinking we don't have anything in common. I'm with her. she's materialistic. I shouldn't be with her. She's a red flag. Not all that. She's into me. That's all.
Yeah, I can't remember. Fuck, it just flew over my head. I can't remember what I was going to say.
I give you the entire version and you just...
He's gonna remember it, later at night or something.
When we're playing COD or something, right? Like, TK, oh, get behind the house. Oh, fuck yeah! Remember what was I gonna say? TK be like, oh, Apu. Yeah, sorry, you guys are saying.
Yeah. I was just saying, guys don't have self-esteem, and I don't know about girls. I think girls as well, to some degree.
They do. They definitely do.
Yeah, because we don't get taught this, right? We have to learn this by ourselves. We have to learn from, error, trial and error. Nobody teaches you this. Nobody teaches you this. Your parents don't teach you. Society doesn't teach you. Your school doesn't teach you. Okay, you have to get this from experience. And as teenagers, yeah, we would get happy. Like, oh, I text a paragraph to some girl and she said, with two M's? Not one? Damn, she's really into me now, guys. I got this one. Hook, line, and sinker. But we don't realize that this, what the fuck are we doing, okay? We're just horny teenagers looking for any kind of, companionship or whatever, And you slowly grow and you learn. And as I've learned not to put effort into something that just looks shiny on the outside, okay? Some from the external...
Okay, you shouldn't judge too early, I would say. Just because it's shiny doesn't mean you put effort.
You still dip your
toes, you see if the water is warm or not. It's good.
I do. And when I do, I get the immediately I know, is it warm or not, okay?
I'm saying, when I get...
It's not.
It's why you like it cold? Oh.
My man's gonna die.
Whenever I want it!
That's what I'm saying. Before you cannonball or nosedive straight into a pool, you should first see how deep it is. Okay? You should see if you can actually nosedive into it or you're gonna need a facial reconstruction surgery afterwards. Okay? So, yeah, and when you do that and you get the results back and it's not in your favor, you just gotta shrug it off and move on with your life, okay? Just because someone's pretty, or just because you think, oh, I'll never get a girl like this to talk to me ever again, it doesn't mean that that's true, okay? That just seems like that in the moment. But you gotta move on with your life and have some self-respect for yourself, okay? Because if you don't have self-respect for yourself, no one else will fucking have any respect for you ever, okay? So that's why you gotta move on and wait for the right thing and try to bark up the right tree eventually, okay? Don't settle. Never settle for less.
Well, I think TK is addressing to a lot of Singaporean males then.
I was one of them, I guess.
You fuck off. Fuck you and your happiness, Larry. Fuck you and your happiness. Fuck you and your sweatshirt, man. Fuck you. Fuck you and your brown beard. Fuck you and your brown face, man. Fuck you and your brown face and pink lips.
TK, donkey is jealous of my beard. Man, you're gonna make me tear up, man. You don't know how much beard I wanted in my life, man.
Look at my fucking yellow face. Does it look like glucose well of any beard? Why the fuck would I be jealous of some pubic hair on my face?
Bruh, I feel you, okay? Like, TK knows my elder brother, right? He's got beard. I got, pubes, as you said, on my face.
You still do?
Wait, look at Donkey's head. It's so nice and oval, egg-like.
Yeah, I love his hair, bruh. His hair... it looks like that Ariana Grande ponytail.
Bro, you gotta understand that. The whole selling point of me is being androgynous. You know,
your hair is whole song so good that I wanna hold it and that.
Thank you, Mac.
Hi. Hello, Larry. Would you like some? Oh, wait, I have to squeeze this shit again. Oh, fuck, I can't. Wait,
no, don't worry about it. Ariana Grande doesn't have titties anyway.
Okay, like that, okay. Oh, shit!
It looks like you're wearing a dress. What the fuck?
Hi, Larry. Would you like some handy? Hello.
I would like some head while I drive. Yeah.
Zoom! I don't even remember the name. Zoom! Zoom! You gotta give Larry a good spanking.
It's been a naughty
year. That's why Santa's not coming for him.
Larry just up nicely waiting for Santa to give him up. Take him on his lap, you know.
Well, yeah, Larry, just be quiet, you know, just tone it down a little bit when we're hanging out in Philippines next year. We don't need to...
Sure.
Yeah, we don't need to listen to you guys banging the wall and everything.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know if I can be there. But yes, if I...
You have to be obsessed with it, bitch!
I'm not obsessed with Philippines, bro.
You have to be, okay?
Yeah, just remember, by going there, you can visit your girlfriend as well. And you can release all that urge together with a girlfriend and reach the nirvana together with her as you guys are rocking back and forth on that bed that we rent from a hotel room. And remember not to stain the sheets. But because it's a hotel room, you guys do not give a fuck. And you guys go like, yeah! All the way, all night, Larry. Just imagine that. Be obsessed with that shit.
Thanks for having belief in me that I can go on.
I don't, but I try to.
We'll get you some special condoms. The ones from Kroger. The Everlast. Everlast condoms.
Oh, but yeah. Like, it's going to be fun because, oh yeah, and me and TK are going to test out some social experiment shit.
Yeah, what social experiment?
Yeah.
Is it a prank? Is it a social experiment?
Langkawi was a bad situation, but yeah, I think in Philippines it'll be better.
I tapped TK just for social experiment, just to see how it is to do it. That was an experiment. We weren't gay. We weren't big.
You can literally get away with murder if you call it a social experiment at the end of it, okay?
Well, it's accurate. I mean, it's accurate social experiment.
Yeah. It is, technically.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of true. You can say the N-word to a black guy, and if he starts beating you, it's like, oh, there's
if I were able to use the N-word and a black guy came up to me, I'll be saying, I was speaking that Mandarin.
Know what? I actually did said the N-word when I came in, like, after 15 days in Canada to a black dude.
It took him 15 days to be racist.
In BD, okay. Like in Bangladesh.
He decided, okay, it's time to let it die.
How about that?
I'm all racist, boys. Let's go.
Okay, I said it twice, not once.
Wow!
I'm not.
Matt drew some balls in 2 weeks.
Okay, what happened is, I went to my college, and I saw people are playing FIFA in our student lounge, and I'm like, what? You lot do that? And then, I made this new friend, whose name was Jordan, who's black, and he came from France.
No shit, Jordan.
Yeah, such a, like, you know, whatever. So now, he goes like, you want to play? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he picked Paris Saint-Germain. PSG, I picked Barcelona, we are playing. This guy scored a 91-minute goal against me to win the game. And out of frustration, I slipped the word. I wasn't thinking straight, okay? I said it, and there were like 15 students behind me watching us play. We're on the couch, there are like 15 students behind us, and it was pin drop silent. And nobody said a word, including the black dude. Nobody said a word. I left the controller on the couch, and I walked away.
What the fuck?
Later that day, we were all walking. I think we're going to this class. And this one Bangla dude just starts walking fast. And I'm like, yo. And then the word comes again. Why are you walking so fast? And I turn around because I thought there's nobody. This Jordan guy is just right next to me. The same dude.
This is like a fucking Larry David moment. What, how you make this shit up right now?
I said sorry. I told him.
Both times you met him, you said the N-word, and both times he saw you doing it. Like, what the fuck?
I told him I'm sorry.
Racist piece of shit.
Bro, I told him I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, and it's a big thing. I'm sorry. And apparently the guy didn't know that it's a big thing in America. So he was actually fine with it because he didn't know that people get offended with it. Because he came from France, he didn't know that it's a deal like that. He thought, like, it's okay, it's cool. And I was like, oh, cool.
But I think it should be, like, a common thing for the black boots to know... To have the son, like, you know, this rapper called Eazy-E.
Yeah,
so Eazy. He was saying, yeah, he was being questioned, like, by this reporter, like, how does he feel about people using the N-word? And then he was like, well, if it depends on how they say it, you know, if you're saying it in a very natural way, like, stop N-word, you know, like, hey, stop, you know, like a friendly, endearing way, it's different. He'll be like, yeah, stop, you know, but if he's saying like, you know, they have that pronounced that, you know, then it's definitely something to look for trouble, and that's not cool with him. So I think, yeah, I think that is like, if you guys call me, hey, Ting Chong, what's up? Then I'll be like, yo, what's up? You know?
Yeah, do people do that?
Well, among us, we do. Like, this fucking bancho, this broccoli calls me Ting Chong.
I call Rice that, and it's literally her name. Her last name. Yeah. I thought she was pranking me at first, okay? The first time, I was like, yo, so what's your name?
I heard the episode, yeah.
I was like, wait, are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you trying to get me to say this shit?
Yeah, so, yeah, like, if it's fine, I guess. Like, you know, if I were calling you guys some racial slur, I mean, we all know that's for fun. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, look at you call us Bangla. Like, what's that?
Oh my god, fuck.
What the fuck was that?
How dare you, mister?
How dare you address me by my race? Bro, what the fuck?
This Ting Chong guy calling us Bangla. How dare he?
What the fuck, dude? But I think with the N-word, the thing is, most people don't say it in an endearing way, okay? The people usually say it aren't the fucking racist and the right-wing, like, supremacists. They're like, these are words, you know, and with the hard R words, out of my country. Most of the people are like that. The people who those, like, the black people are, like, tight with and, like, you know, close friends, yeah, they can say it to each other endearingly. But whenever you hear that word, like, thrown around, is most of the time it's never for a good reason, okay?
All right, let me make just something clear just in case it doesn't bite me in the ass in 10 years time. I didn't mean
it. And he did mean it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say the
on the record.
I
met everyone.
Where
he
we
met both times.
Just for buddies. Yep. It means buddies. And I just came to Canada, migrated, like I wasn't
accessible. So you emphasize on the R at the end of the N-word.
Friends without that word.
He meant it.
Never done that ever since.
And he didn't tell he was French. They're all the same term.
I apologize.
He's being a racist now.
No. Because I did apologize to him. Even though he didn't even know what it was, I apologized to him. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Wait.
Like,
so
he called a fellow Bangla.
Imagine I'm applying for Google and they bring this clip up.
Yeah, this exact episode. 2 hours, 30 minutes.
They have lawyered up. They're like, but you admitted you said it. I'm like, yeah, but it was a mistake. It was back in the day. And they're like, you admitted twice. Now you
in front of Jordan. In front of Jordan, motherfucking Jordan.
Yes.
We got your ass, bitch.
You know, posters. Justice for Jordan.
Justice for Jordan. Fuck this sweatshirt.
What?
You know, of all the episodes, you had to wear the sweatshirt. You had to wear it on this most controversial one, didn't you? You know, nothing that says a douchebag, unlike the thing you're wearing right now. Okay, that's what it says, a douchebag. You might as well have douchebag written all over you.
On his forehead, and shave his beard in the word bag, and here, douchebag.
Wait, did you at least ask him what is the N-word equivalent in France?
Do you think I had the balls for it?
Yeah, apparently you grew two big ones when you said it.
I'm what? A 4'9" guy and he's like this? Nah. I'm not doing that.
Well, if you're 4'9" and it's like that, all you can do is... Well, easy does it.
Don't be made a mistake. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have the balls, you can always find some.
As they always say, if you can't beat them, you know, just suck them off, you know, and it's gonna be fine.
Yeah, perfect height, anyways, you know, as you were showing, is perfect height. Like, you'll be doing like that, like this side views. And what does it mean? Yeah, that's how it look like.
He's gonna have it in his mouth, not in his hand.
Not yet, because that's stage one. He has to try with his hands first.
No,
Okay, why are we getting into details in this? Like, why are you deciding how I'm acting? What the fuck? At least let
because we are friends. Because we are friends. We are friends. We are advising you how to get out of life without the sweatshirt.
The council has spoken. Okay, you know what you need.
I will take this sweatshirt off.
Okay? Please don't. It's too late. Please don't.
You can take it off after the episode. Speaking of which, yeah. I think we've come to the perfect conclusion here at 2 hour 30-something, 40 minutes. I don't know.
Oh,
it's
going
to be double. Yeah, two episodes. So thank you, guys. I don't have time this week. So, you know, not going to record anymore. Just going to...
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No, fuck you, Christmas. From every episode from now on, Larry's going to have to wear that sweatshirt, man. Fucking hell. Larry has no identity, no personality. He's just a sweatshirt that laughs. With a beard.
Okay, fuck you guys who are celebrating Christmas a month early. Fuck you guys. But those who are watching this on Christmas, Merry Christmas, okay?
Have a good year. Fuck you too. Still fuck you. Who the fuck celebrates Christmas at this age, man? Fuck, man. It's like Larry was asking, writing fucking letters to Santa. Fuck that shit, man. We fucking WhatsApp him that shit.
Okay, another controversial take. I didn't know this episode could get spicier. Okay, now we're gonna get cancelled with both of our guests, or hosts, here. So, anyway,
I'm Chinese. You think fucking Chinese believes in fucking Santa Claus? I don't think that's a Bangla Santa, right?
Can we don't believe in Santa Claus either. We're Muslims. We're Muslims. We don't.
TK is not Muslim. What the fuck? TK is just Bangla.
Anyway, before this gets out of control, I need to end this legally before I get into some actual trouble.
No. Okay, wait. Anyway. Just in case everything bites us in the ass, we are saying this because we are friends. We can only say this because we are all friends.
Yes.
So you guys don't even try to, you know, put your finger into our assholes because we are in each other's assholes. Eat that, bitch! Fuck you in the sweatshirt, man.
Okay. Anyway, I know a lot of people watch this without subscribing, and I know who you are. I know.
Oh yeah, we do.
Subscribe. Yeah, subscribe to the
channel. I still can see you.
Subscribe please. To the channel.
Ooh. Wait, how do you? Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh, ooh! Subscribe to the channel, please.
Wait, you have to pull your fucking lip. Ooh,
ooh, ooh! Come on, subscribe, please.
I had a joke for, but we would have gotten really cancelled, so I didn't. I chose the better of my judgment.
Okay, listeners, beware. Larry is gonna talk.
No, wait, why?
No. Let's finish the episode. I'll tell you guys.
You don't want to see this, okay?
Right before Larry tells the joke, we cut the episode.
Okay,
so that people,
those guys who want to see the joke, okay, you can only see it after you've subscribed. It's behind the subscription button. You don't know this.
I don't know where the fuck is that on the screen.
It's the red big button right under the channel.
Click on it.
And then you
subscribe here.
Fucking
crazy joke. Okay, go ahead, Larry.
Please
do it. No, you gotta cut that shit. You gotta cut that shit, man. Fucking hell. That shit will roast our ass like 100%.
Okay, and it's cut. And you guys totally missed that hilarious offensive joke that we said behind the subscribe button. So do subscribe now. And see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Bye bye.